All right, it's good to be here this afternoon. We're certainly thankful for the privilege and opportunity, the great honor to stand here and bring the Word of God. We thank the church for hospitality, all the labor, and all those things that have been a blessing to us. We thank you for all that you do to make these services the blessing that they are. We pray God will bless you for your labors. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Begin reading with verse number 1, and we'll read through to verse number 9 for our text this afternoon. And Saul, whom we all know will have his name changed to Paul, the Apostle, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, rather they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. We want to draw your attention this afternoon to verse number 5, where the Lord Jesus Christ says to Saul, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Those of us who are here this afternoon who are saved because we heard the Lord say to us, I am Jesus. There's nobody here truly saved who did not hear those words, I am Jesus, the way He said them to Saul. There is nobody here today who's lost in their sins and on their way to hell who will ever be saved until they understand that statement, I am Jesus. As we just heard from Brother Gordon, Jesus is not a way. Jesus is the way. The only way. And no one is ever saved until they hear those words, I am Jesus. I believe this I am statement in verse number 5 is the Lord's I am the Savior statement. If we go over to Acts chapter 22, another place where Paul's conversion is the topic, and he is giving his testimony. He says over in Acts chapter 22, and I fell to the, verse 7, I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's recounting his salvation. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Here it's clarified for us that when Paul was saved there on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said unto him, I am Jesus of Nazareth. That is Christ saying, in essence, I am the Savior. So the Apostle Paul wasn't fighting against Jesus the Lord. He wasn't fighting against Jesus the King. He wasn't fighting really against Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God. But he was fighting against this Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says in this exposure to Paul, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I'm the one you hate. I'm the one you're fighting against. I'm the one from that lowly city called Nazareth, where nothing good ever comes from. I'm the one who is labeled Jesus of Nazareth. I am the Savior. I'm the one you have such a problem with. When he was before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, he said to Agrippa, I came to the conclusion that I ought to do many things contrary to the name. I was a Jew among the Jews, a Pharisee among the Pharisees. I excelled above many. And I determined to do everything I could against this Jesus of Nazareth. I determined to fight against this Jesus who came from Nazareth. It was read this morning from the Word of God, from the book of Luke, how that Mary was in a city called Nazareth. When the angel appeared unto her and says, You will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. She was in Nazareth when she received the news concerning Christ. And when this son is born, which will be born of the Holy Spirit, you're going to call him Jesus. He's going to be known as Jesus from Nazareth. We actually see when Mary and Joseph begin to have to do some moving around and fleeing to Egypt and being directed to the Lord for safety's sake. God in His providence brings them back to Nazareth. Back in Matthew, the second chapter, around verse 23. Once again, they're back at Nazareth. Nazareth was a place looked down upon. Nazareth was a place people didn't want to be known as being from. It was looked down and frowned upon. It was a place of scorn. You remember when Nathanael got news that Christ was coming, the Messiah was coming? His question was, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from that terrible place? This name of Jesus More particularly, this name, Jesus of Nazareth, was a name plainly identifying Him as the Savior. The one conceived of the Holy Spirit, conceived of the Virgin Mary, born in that place, raised in that place, coming from that place, the place of scorn and derision. He became known as Jesus from Nazareth. And Paul was laboring feverishly against this Jesus of Nazareth. He hated this Jesus of Nazareth and all of His followers. He despised, He scorned. He saw this Jesus of Nazareth as contemptible. He was as religious a man as you could meet, and yet He was lost and on His way to hell because this one He was fighting against was the one He desperately needed, because He was the only way for salvation. This Jesus of Nazareth, from this terrible place, is in fact the Savior. And it is as the Savior that Jesus presents Himself to Paul or Saul there in our text. We see the apostles making Jesus of Nazareth the name that they preached in and through. Go to Acts chapter 2. Obviously, we know that's the Pentecost message Peter brought. As soon as we hear Acts 2, we immediately know the setting. And listen here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 21. Peter preaching says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, Him, this Jesus of Nazareth, the one accredited and approved by God with all these signs and wonders, this Jesus of Nazareth was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This despised one was delivered by God's predestining and ordaining. This one that God has predetermined and predestined, you took. Shows God's hand in it, of course. Sovereignty of God and the ordaining of God in our salvation. But God brought this Jesus of Nazareth and let them by their hands, their wicked hands, crucify and slay Him. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. He preached Jesus of Nazareth. That was the name. Jesus from this terrible place, looked down upon place, was approved by all these signs and wonders, that God's hand was upon Him, that He indeed was the Son of God. God delivered Him into your hands, your wicked hands, then took Him and crucified Him and slew Him. But our God raised Him up. He's preaching unto them the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The despised one was God in the flesh, that great mystery we've heard about. Jesus of Nazareth was the one that God had predetermined to come and save His people by His death, burial, and resurrection. This despised one God delivered up, and God allowed these wicked people to crucify Him. And when they thought their hands were free of Him and He was placed in the tomb, God raised this Jesus of Nazareth, this despised, looked down upon one, out of the grave. He's preaching the gospel unto them, and this name of Jesus. And this is the Jesus that Paul comes face to face with. This one you're fighting against. This despised one. This one you look down upon. I am Jesus of Nazareth. In chapter 3 of Acts, verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He commanded this man to rise up and walk and to be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He goes on to say over the latter part of this chapter, verse 14, "Ye denied the Holy One, this Jesus of Nazareth, the Just One, this Jesus of Nazareth. You desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Notice this 16th verse. "And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." This Jesus of Nazareth that he commands this man to be healed in is the same Jesus Peter's going to preach to these folks. And again, he tells them, "This Jesus you killed, God raised." Over in chapter 4 of Acts, verse number 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. This is the one you threw off. This is the one you despised. This is the one that you just thought was a phony. This Jesus of Nazareth. But this Jesus of Nazareth, the despised one, is become the head of the corner. God has made him the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. I am Jesus of Nazareth. I am the one that you despise, that you hold in contempt. I am the Savior. We read in John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, when they came to arrest Jesus Christ just went up and said, "Who are you looking for? Who you seek?" Their response was, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus' response was, "You found him. I am he." This is a significant name for Christ. It was a name known very well to Paul. It was a name he had fought vigorously against, had great hatred towards this Jesus of Nazareth. But this Jesus of Nazareth was the Savior. And we read here in Acts chapter 9 of Paul's salvation. Because he came face to face with Jesus of Nazareth. I'm saved by the grace of God because long, long time ago, I came face to face with Jesus of Nazareth. The despised one, the rejected one, the lowly one, the meek one. The one that allowed himself to be so mistreated. I saw him as having died for my sins. I saw him as my Savior. If you're here this afternoon and you're saved, it can only be because you saw Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you think you're saved, what are you basing that upon? What are you trusting for your salvation? Something you've done? Something you hope to do? The fact that you walked a church aisle somewhere because a preacher pronounced you someday saved and tapped you on the head, or because you answered his questions right, or because you got your name on a church roll somewhere? Or because you were baptized, maybe baptized multiple times? What is it you're trusting right now? Paul was a man so steeped in the Jews' religion, he was one of the greatest leaders in that religion. And it was the religion of God's people, the Jews. He was as religious a person you could meet in his day. But he had never met Jesus of Nazareth as Savior. He'd heard of Jesus. I don't know, you may disagree, and this is not something we can be real dogmatic on, because I can't take you to a passage of Scripture and say, here it says so. But I look at the time when Paul was saved, and I look back at the time when Christ was crucified, the age Paul had to be at this particular time. The Apostle Paul was alive and well at the time of Christ's ministry and his crucifixion. I don't think it would be too far-fetched or improbable to think that Jerusalem may have even seen the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. He knew where Jesus came from. He knew he was to be despised, and he worked against him and worked against those who were followers of this Jesus of Nazareth. He knew this Jesus, but he'd never met this Jesus. He never really knew this Jesus. Here he meets him as Savior. Have you ever met Jesus as Savior? The word religion is not necessarily a bad word. We do find it in our Bible. I look out this afternoon and I'm looking out at a room full of religious people. Again, not necessarily a bad word. But surely there are some here today who are trusting their religion, who've never really met Jesus of Nazareth. What are you trusting at this hour? Have you ever had this experience that the Apostle Paul had? Knew of him, fought against him, maybe even had seen him, encountered him. With all the zeal of his religion, working against this one. But now he meets him face to face. And this guy knows my name, Paul thinks. Who are you, sir? Who are you, Lord? You know, I find it interesting. Again, this might be a bone of contention with some, but Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? Paul says, who are you, Lord? You know, that word translated Lord here is the same word translated sir when Christ was dealing with the woman by the Samaritan, by the Samaria well. She said, sir. Same word translated Lord here. She said, sir, but she didn't know Jesus, but she was about to know Jesus.
Amen.
Saul, Saul, why are you fighting against me? Why do you hate me so? Why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Who are you? I'm Jesus. Oh. You're saved. You had that moment sometime during the course of your life. When God brought you to the end of yourself, knocked all the props out from under you, brought you under the burden of your sin, granted you repentance and faith in this Jesus. If you're here and you're saved, it's because just like Jesus said, I am Jesus, and revealed himself to Paul. He revealed himself to you. We won't take the time to turn there, but next, John chapter 19, Christ is hanging upon the cross. Remember, Pilate put that statement over his head. You know what that statement said? This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It's a pretty significant name, isn't it? The Jews were offended by that. They wanted him to change it. Instead of saying, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, they wanted it to say, this is Jesus of Nazareth, that man from that little despised city over there who claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate said, no, I'm not going to change it. My word stands. And in the providence of God, Jesus Christ died with that name over his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, who wasn't one who claimed to be, but was one who was the King of the Jews and the King of Kings. I'm not going to change it. It stands. Even through the wicked hands of Pilate, God was working, identifying Jesus as the Savior and also identifying Him as the King. I think that's glorious. As we think about this I am Jesus of Nazareth, I would also say that this is the I am of the effectual call. It's interesting, always interesting when you parallel the Gospels and then even go into Acts and look at things that are recorded. But Paul had known of, heard of, done many things against this one called Jesus. Jesus was no stranger to him historically. But on this trip, he met Jesus Christ as Savior. What changed? Paul called it the effectual working of God. We see him calling him by name, bringing the accusation, you're persecuting me. These are your sins and these are your deeds. You compare the different records here, and others with Paul saw the light, but they didn't see the person. Folks, I think you need to really understand, when you read about the conversion of Paul, Paul didn't have a salvation experience like most of us, where God came and everything went on here. Read your Bibles. Paul saw Jesus Christ. He saw him physically. Christ appeared to him. The others with him saw light. But Paul saw Christ. That's the way the effectual call works.
Amen.
You can hear about and hear about and hear about Jesus, but it's not going to be of any avail until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and calls out your name and says, "This is Jesus, your Savior." If you're here and you're saved, it's because of that effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God. How many, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to, but if I were, how many of you would raise your hand and say, "I went to church year after year after year, heard about Jesus all my life, and then one day I heard about Jesus Christ. I went to Sunday school for decades, and I knew everything you could ask me about Jesus, but one day I met Jesus." That's what happened to Paul. This is an effectual working. You compare the records, and in one place it says the others heard the voice, and in another place it says the others didn't hear the voice. How can you hear the voice and not hear the voice? They heard the sound of the voice, but they didn't understand the voice. Paul heard it and understood it because of the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Paul testified to his having seen Christ. And you know, one of the qualifications of an apostle was they had to have seen Christ, been with Christ, and been taught of Christ. Paul came along after Christ had already returned back to heaven. In this salvation experience, Christ appeared to Paul, and then Christ personally taught Paul everything Paul ever believed and preached in his ministry. We read over there in the Corinthian letter, "I received from Christ that which I delivered unto you." He got it right from Jesus. This is the I Am, the Savior. I Am. I Am Jesus of Nazareth. This one you hate, despise, and look down upon. I'm the one identified by God as the Savior, the one who gave His life, the one who was crucified, and now here you're seeing me. That's all the proof Paul needed that the resurrection was real. They went everywhere preaching in the name of Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified with that name over His head. And when Jesus came and said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth," it was an effectual working upon the Apostle Paul. Everybody who is saved has seen this Jesus of Nazareth. No one will ever be saved without seeing this Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Paul fought against this Jesus of Nazareth. Another whole message. People who fight against Jesus. Probably somebody even here this afternoon fighting against this Jesus. And to take all the language there that Christ says to the Apostle Paul, He says, "Paul, you're kicking against me. You're kicking against my messengers. You're kicking against my church. You're kicking against my disciples and my preachers. And all this kicking is against me. And all this kicking against me only hurts you." If you're here and you're lost, and you're trusting anything but Jesus, you're in the same position Paul was. Lost without a personal knowledge of Christ. If you're here and you think you're saved and you're trusting anything but totally and completely the finished work of Jesus Christ, then you're putting something before Him. You're kicking against him. There are no other ways. When the preacher gets up and preaches your need of salvation and you just get madder and madder every time he preaches it, who are you kicking against? Not the preacher. You get mad and embittered against the Lord's churches because they preach your need of a Savior and your sin. Who are you kicking against? You're kicking against Jesus. If you're here and you've never truly been saved, all this kicking, you're only hurting yourself. The reality is, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, no middle ground, no reprieves, no second chances. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You die without having this kind of an experience with Jesus of Nazareth. You open your eyes being in torment. Old person, young person, you die without knowing Christ. You open your eyes in a place called hell, suffering. You need Jesus. Praise God for this Jesus of Nazareth. Aren't you glad, Christian friend? Like he came to Paul, he came to you. That's why we sing so much about him. There's no better song than Jesus. Do you know him? If not, trust him this very hour. He'll save your soul. Thank you.